Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. Tampa International Airport provides national and international access to a key recreation and business market in the United States. Airport planners there expect rapid growth in the coming years, and they're preparing to accommodate and to encourage it. A three-phase master plan is in place to serve a doubling of passengers to 35 million per year. Al Illustrato, who's Vice President of Facilities and Administration with the Tampa International Airport, is here to tell us about this master plan. Thanks a lot for speaking with us today, Al.
My pleasure, Joe.
Can you start us out, for those of us that don't know the Tampa Airport that well, to just describe what the airport is like right now?
Yeah, the airport has got a lot of construction activity going on. Airport is processing probably about 18.5 million passengers a year or so and operating very, very well under the first phase of a $1 billion master plan program.
If I remember correctly, you have a kind of a main terminal and then something like four satellites?
Yes, that's correct. So it's a sort of a hub and spoke design. Was created like that in the late 60s and opened up in 1971. Kind of revolutionary at its time of this hub and spoke with a main terminal and then connected to four air sides with automated people mover.
And the people mover, if I recall correctly, is a kind of small transit system, small cars automated on a straight separate guideway.
Correct. It's basically a two-car train system that goes back and forth to each one of the air sides.
And the waiting areas are in the satellites?
We have a waiting area in the main terminal or a processing area. So a passenger would get ready to go to an airside and they would show their boarding pass. So we make sure they're going to the correct airside and then go to the airside and process through security there. And then on the return, when the flights arrive, then they queue up at the airside in the lobby to catch the train, if you will, coming back to the main terminal. And these are very short runs, you know, maybe 90-second run from the airside to the terminal, vice versa.
And security is separate in each of the four satellites?
Security is separate in each of the four satellites, that's correct. So it's pretty much dispersed, so we don't have sort of that centralized security screening area that some airports do that are subject to really a lot of congestion at times. So I believe part of our success is that we're spread out in that manner and we handle only that portion of security for that particular airside and the airlines at that airside.
I see. So what's the motivation to pursue a new master plan?
Well, as you started out before, when we do a master plan with a forecast and we're looking at a doubling of our passengers over the next 20 years to around that 35 million annual passenger level, and we had to develop the right program to develop capacity to be able to do that. And so that's where we embarked on this master plan and we decided on our approach to that.
What are the principal components of this plan?
Well, the main thing that we had to deal with, because as we shared a few minutes ago with the hub and spoke design, it's a great design. It's very efficient. It's short walking distances. The airport, when it was first designed, would have a walking budget, if you will, of 700 feet. So passengers could conveniently get from an airside all the way to the main terminal and then into the parking garage with about 700 feet of walking. So they'd use a people mover and they'd use other conveyance vertically, and they would be able to do that in a very efficient manner. So we have all of that, but what we find ourselves as we continue to grow is that in and around the terminal core, congestion on our roadways, and congestion in our terminal. So studying this with our master planners, we came up with we're going to move our rental cars from the in-terminal area and develop a consolidated center to our south. And that would help the first part of decongesting the roadways because there was a lot of roadway traffic generated by the rental car operation being right here in-terminal area from car jockeys moving cars to passengers renting them, and that sort of thing. So by moving the rental car operation and separating it from here, we increase the capacity of our curbsides to be able to handle the arriving and departing passengers in those zones. The other part of it is expanding the main terminal to grow that footprint inside, because if you envision prior to 9/11, all meters and greeters would go out to the airsides with the passengers. And then after 9/11, meters, greeters are restricted and need to stay in the main terminal. Wasn't really designed to be able to handle that amount of traffic over time. So we've dealt with it, but it increased the congestion in the terminal. So we're expanding the main terminal transfer lobby by 50,000 feet. And we're moving the existing shuttles, each of them, by at least one shuttle car bay out. And that will create the amount of room that we need to be able to process the passengers.
So I'm trying to develop an image in my mind of what this looks like. So I'm going to use an odd term, but you inflate the main terminal and it takes up some of the space on the shuttle runs. So you shorten the shuttle runs a little bit.
Shorten the shuttle runs a little bit. What it's doing, though, in our terminal is it's creating an amount of space that we need to handle the higher volume of passenger growth that we're going to expect, because we're meters and greeters and others are taking up more and more of the space of the main terminal, and we have to grow its capacity to be able to handle those passengers and meters greeters.
And from what I understand, you have a three-phase master plan. What are those three phases?
The first phase we call decongestion. And as I was alluding to, moving the rental car and it growing the space, we decongest the amount of activity taking place in the terminal core so it can handle more passengers and more vehicles in and around on the roads and the curbs. It also, and I should have mentioned this before, we go between being the 9th and 10th largest rental car market in the United States at an airport. And we cannot constrain the growth of that rental car, and we are at capacity. So the consolidated center will give us that increased capacity we need for increased rental car over the years. So that's phase one, and then phase two to three is developing another airside and capacity to handle a greater amount of international traffic. Over the last 5 years or so, we virtually doubled our international passenger traffic, albeit the smaller number, but it is a doubling of that traffic, and we continue to grow our international, and we can handle it in our existing international facilities. But the next phase of the master plan will have to deal with the need for more gates, specifically for international.
So will you be adding another satellite?
That's part of the plan that we're looking at. So when we did our original master plan, we saw a vision that had it basically separated, and as you said, three phases with doing the decongestion and moving the rental car center in. Then there was a phase in there of enabling where we were going to have to move some things out of the way, potentially take advantage of some real estate opportunities. Now that we'd have a new people mover connected to the CONRAC, we're thinking about developing a hotel and an office complex in that area. And then the third phase is adding this additional satellite and international processing. What we're doing right now is we're taking a refresh on our master plan. So now that we're right smack in the middle of phase one, we brought our master planners back in and said, let's take a relook at this phase two and three, the timing of it, the execution of it, and make sure that we're correct in our thinking, or if there's anything we need to adjust to that's occurred over the last couple of years since we did the master plan.
So the interesting kind of staging problem, because if I understand it correctly, the market and the world is changing around you. You need to keep up and keep at the cutting edge, and so the airport infrastructure needs to adapt.
Exactly right. And, you know, for years, airports do master plans every 5 to 7 years, and they take a 20-year outlook. But even in speaking with a current master planner, HNTB, they're saying that more airports are doing an approach such as what we're doing right now, is to try to take a look more frequently because the industries, the needs, and things changing more rapidly, that while we're not doing a completely new master plan, we are taking an opportunity to revisit decisions and revisit approaches that we determined 2 or 3 years ago were good. And we're in the process of doing that right now before we commit to many more dollars for the future phases.
Yeah, and before you lock into a particular infrastructure investment.
Yes, before we lock into a particular infrastructure, correct.
And can you do what you're trying to do within the current footprint of the airport?
Yeah. And so what this plan is doing for us, which is quite different than plans we looked at years ago, the airport has enough footprint to basically create another Tampa International the way we have right now, with basically a main terminal core and air sides, and duplicate that to our north. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we said, is there a way to stay within the existing complex with the main terminal and four air sides, add another air side to it, move the rentals car area out so that we could maximize the infrastructure footprint of the existing terminal and not need to go to what I would call the greenfield site to the north?
So how will the new rental car facility be connected to the main terminal?
We're adding a 1.4-mile people mover system, APM, automated people mover, to the 2.6 million square foot rental car center. We studied very briefly the notion of using buses, and for two reasons. One, we do not really have the space and the capacity for the amount of buses it would take from this rental car center. And two, we believe that from a customer convenience and efficiency perspective, and if you will, what Tampa International Airport is known for from our original design, the people mover is the answer. We were the first airport in the world to have an automated people mover system, and it served us well. Short walking distances and those conveniences that became our core value, we believe that we adhere to by having this automated people mover that brings in this rental car center from the south.
So would you use the same technology you're using to connect to the satellites?
Yes, it is the same sort of a car technology, if you will. Bombardier, Mitsubishi, Siemens and others have the types of vehicles like this. We put out a competitive bid, and Mitsubishi won that bid. It is a more complicated system than the sort of shuttles that go to the air sides. It is a bi-directional 1.4-mile system that will have 12 cars in it, and it would operate probably with maybe 5 two-car trains in the initial few years.
Interesting, and particularly interesting to hear you use the concept of core value, which to me is a way of saying, well, you want to maintain consistent design and quality of service for all the components of the airport experience.
Yes. You know, as I've stated, for years, we've been known as a very efficient, easy airport to get in and out of, short walking distances. And we go back and we look at the original design intent, in which that, again, hub and spoke with the main terminal and connected with the people movers, is something that right from the start is in our DNA. And when we look towards our master plans, and I've been at the airport now for 27 years, and even in the prior master plans that we've done, we always look to those things that are a passenger efficiency, a airline and a rental car efficiency. How can we operate here very cost effectively and efficiently, not only from the passenger standpoint, but from our major stakeholders that have to operate out here.
And how are you going to finance these new investments?
It's financed in a way that you could say is probably typical of how airports would go into a big program like this. There are the passenger facilities charges, PFCs, which a passenger pays on $4.50 on their ticket segment in Tampa. There are CFCs, which are customer facility charge, which rental car customer pays on their transaction day at Tampa, and they do at most airports where there are rental cars. We have some general obligation revenue bonds that the airport issues that's paid for by airport revenues. We have a small amount of airport improvement grants from the federal government, and we have a rather large Florida Department of Transportation grant to fund a good bit of our automated people mover. We have a total grant from them of about $194 million, and a substantial portion of that goes to fund our automated people mover.
So in effect, they're playing a role on the ground side of flows at the airport.
Yeah, they're a very important component to us, Florida Department of Transportation, provides grants for various eligible projects at this airport and others in Florida, and they have been very good to us here. This project is a game changer. They acknowledge that the region can only grow when the airport infrastructure and the surrounding area has the capacity needed to be able to bring in more visitors and others from other areas.
So what's your schedule? When am I going to see this when I fly into your airport?
We are on pace right now to finish in the fall of 2017. So the way we look at it right now, we probably have about 17 months to go. We have a lot of work in place. So on a program that's almost $1 billion, we probably have about $300 million already out the door paid on the project. We have a good amount of work at the Consolidated Center, the expansion of the terminal, the people mover, taxiway bridge that we had to reconstruct is three quarters of the way being rebuilt to allow for the automated people mover to travel through it. So we're on pace and on budget right now.
It sounds really good. I am looking forward to getting down to Tampa to see that. Al, thank you so much for describing this interesting plan to us today, and I look forward to having the experience myself.
You're welcome, Joe, anytime, and looking forward to seeing you in Tampa in 2017.
Great. Thank you, Al.
Have a good day.
You too.